Well, good morning. That music is very uplifting to us. We're always dancing in here in
Shoot
the studios.
Shoot ya.
We are here on this fourth Tuesday for FYI, for your information, that we hope to enlighten you.
For your health.
For your health, yes. We are Plant-Based OKC. I am Andrea Conway. I'm here with my husband, Dr. Jimmy Conway.
Hello.
And our good friend, Randy Titone.
Good morning,
Plant-based
everyone.
Plant-based evangelist.
That's right. Bring it in.
And just a shout out to Randy. Tomorrow is his birthday.
Shoot, yeah, it is. It's not too late to send a gift, everyone.
Thank him for all of his work for Plant-Based OKC. He helps us out tremendously and is always a big cheerleader for what we do and helps us promote a healthy lifestyle. And we appreciate all his efforts. So if you don't know who we are, Plant-Based OKC, we kind of formed this little group, oh gosh, 5-6 years ago now. And we did it just to share our knowledge of why a whole food plant-based diet is the healthiest way to eat to reverse and prevent all of our chronic diseases such as heart disease, cancer, diabetes, autoimmune diseases, and so forth. And
what are you saying? You can actually reverse these diseases?
I am.
Wow. What a concept.
With what medicine?
Well,
the most powerful medicine that's ever been known, and that is food.
Man. Food equals medicine.
Wow.
So we wanted to share our story. So we go around speaking on forums such as this here. We're here on this radio station every fourth Tuesday of the month. And while we are here for this next hour, if anyone that's listening has any questions for us, we would love to hear from you. You can call in and we'll answer your questions live on the air at 672-1220. So anytime, just feel free to call in. The other things we do are we do provide monthly seminars where we go over, you know, more in depth the science behind why eating this way works. And those are held at Community Hospital, which is at 3100 Southwest 89th Street. These meetings are free of charge, and I provide a plant-based lunch for everyone. We hold them on Saturdays at noon. Our next one is Saturday, June 17th. So if you're interested in that, we still have some openings for that date, but we do hold them monthly, and you can find out more information about the date and time and email an RSVP at plantbasedokc.com.
The seminars are free, but we require registration, so Andrea knows how many people to provide a plant-based meal for.
And we do have limited seating in the room, so you do need to RSVP to that.
You know I'm going to miss y'all, right?
Where are you going?
On the 17th.
Oh, on the 17th. You won't be there gone. With us. Now we're going to have to introduce ourselves.
That's exactly right.
So where are you going to go?
I'm taking my children on a cruise.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I hope you find some good plant-based food while
I will.
You're there.
I've called ahead.
In addition to our monthly seminars at the hospital, we are also at Rococo in North Park Mall, a restaurant there that has a private room they allow us to use. We are there the first Monday of every month.
June 5th.
June 5th is the next Monday that we will be there. And it starts at 6 o'clock p.m. And it's a very informal meeting. It's really a support group of sorts for people that are either interested in looking into this or have already started and want to talk and meet with other people who are starting down this journey of changing their lifestyle. And Rococo provides us a plant-based menu, which you can purchase or not. It's not required at all. And we're there just to talk and answer questions. So it's a much more informal night, but it's very enjoyable and a good fellowship. And just trying to build community of like-minded people who want to get healthy, truly healthy, and not just be on medications for things that can be reversed. You know, Randy's saying is that people aren't
living longer. They're dying longer.
Yes. And Randy even has a bumper sticker with that.
That's right.
Saying on it. He's He's patented his.
You really nobody until you have your own bumper sticker.
Yes, exactly.
I guess I'm still nobody.
Well, you know, Dr. Conway can get published in medical journals all he wants. I'm just out
but
for
you
the
have
sticker.
A bumper sticker.
That's exactly right.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
So I think one of the things I want to start out with this morning is talking about our genes and genetics and are those our destiny? Because, you know, our story goes back to my husband having been told he needed triple bypass. And honestly, you know, we thought that was our destiny because of his father. And I'm going to let him tell a little bit of that story to kind of start us off on this whole idea that we're bound by our genes.
Well, I mean, you know, we kind of get this unwritten message that genes determine our future. We're taught that essentially in college, in the science courses that I took prior to medical school. And then that message is conveyed throughout medical school that basically you're a product of your genetics. And we kind of blindly accept that message that, yeah, genes control everything. And it wasn't until I came across some information that basically stated that you could change your genetics based on what you eat. And the first time I heard that statement, I thought, this guy's crazy. There's no way you can change your genetics based on what you eat, because I had been indoctrinated in what can be referred to as genetic determinism. And that is that the genes determine your fate. But there is now an unlimited amount of evidence that we're not prisoners of our genetics, that you can change your genetic expression. And there are numerous studies now that support that. And, you know, as I got to thinking about genetics, we've used stem cells in orthopedic surgery for, decades. And stem cells are cells that your body has that, depending on the actual line, I'm not going to get real technical here, but these cells can form different tissues, but they all have the same genetics. And so what tells this stem cell to form tendon versus bone or versus cartilage or versus scar tissue or muscle? And it is the environment that the stem cell is placed into that determines what it becomes. And so when I got to really considering that, you know, the cell isn't bound by the genetics that it has, it can form, you know, muscle or cartilage or whatever based on the environment that it's placed in, that led me to look at genetic risk of diseases differently as well. And probably one of the guys that's published quite a bit on this is Dean Ornish, who is a doctor in the San Francisco area that has conclusively shown that at least the genetic expression can be changed based on what you eat. And even, you know, medicine thought that the golden carrot would be once we map out the human genome, we're going to know what causes all these diseases. And based on the number of different proteins in the body, we expected to see about 120,000 different genes when the human genome was mapped out, and they only found about 25,000. So there's a whole concept change in genetics that occurred after we did the Human Genome Project. And you can definitely change your genetic expression based on what you eat, and even based on what you believe.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about, though, feeling bound by those genetics and how what all that, I mean, so we've talked about how that you can truly change them, but without really knowing that or understanding that, how most people are going about this in their life. And, you know, for us, we relate it to, you know, 8 years ago, you were told that after having blood work done and having super high cholesterol, like almost 500, and super high triglycerides, over 3,000, and failing a stress test, we went in to have an arteriogram. And You know, the story I always tell is to, you know, honestly, based on the fact that your father had had heart disease, you know, he was in his 80s and he'd had it since he was in his 50s, that it became evident anyway. He'd had it before that, but it became evident in his 50s by having a heart attack. And from that point on, after, you know, the heart attack, it was, you know, medications and stents and then ultimately bypass, then more stents and stents and stents. And, you know, so here you were at the age of 53 and we thought, well, here we go. We're just, you know, we're going to go down this path just like his dad. And we're going to have the arteriogram and we'll go in and they'll probably end up having to, you know, do a couple stents because that's what your dad had. So why would you be any different than him? And while you weren't, they went in and they found out that, you know, there was significant heart disease, but it was too significant to stent. And the doctor suggested or recommended triple bypass. So in my mind, I was blown away because honestly, he was 53 years old. I'm thinking we go in, we get some stents, and we go on our merry way. I mean, that was how almost laissez-faire I was thinking about it anyway.
Well, I think because it's become that way.
You know, I mean, everybody that age is starting, you know, 50s, early 60s, goes in, finds out they have, you know, heart disease and has some blockage, and they get a stent, and then they go on, and they're fine, right? I mean, that's life.
That's what we think.
That's aging, and that's the way I think it's portrayed by the media, the commercials for all the healthcare, you know, industries out there, and that's what the public thinks. And so that's what we thought until our eyes were opened and we did some research and we found out that's not the case. And we found out more about this genetic changing.
Right.
And opted to not have the surgery and change the way we ate. And it's changed our lives. And that's why we do what we do now. But, you know, every day something comes up in the media and like I want to reference this gentleman named Bob Harper. Some of you may or may not know who he is, but you know, The Biggest Loser's been on the air now for many, many years. And in the beginning, he was one of the trainers. I think he's no longer on the show, but you know, very fit, thin guy, always worked out, always promoted, you know, eating healthfully, whatever that means to them.
Eating, you know, clean.
Yeah. Most of them refer to it as eating clean.
And right? He, you know, promoted that he was kind of this healthy guru and all this. And this past couple months ago, you know, he's working out in the gym and had a massive heart attack. And had someone not been there to know how to work a defibrillator, he would have been dead. I mean, that was the significance of the heart attack that he had. And they brought him back. And he's obviously alive, but he now, you know, says, well, you know, I should have known better. You know, I have a genetic predisposition to this. My mother had heart disease, and I don't remember his whole family story, but in his family had heart disease at a very young age.
Well, as long as it's determined by the genes, then it's not our fault.
Right. And you don't.
And so you're a victim of your genetics.
But he still equates, even though, you know, he was working out and had a healthy lifestyle, but there wasn't anything I could do about it because this was my genetic
destination. And he did basically say that, which is a total misunderstanding of the science. That's the way I thought.
Absolutely.
That basically because I had such a strong family history of heart disease that I was destined to get it, well, the other thing you can't separate from your genetics is what you learned to eat while you were growing up, which is part of the family environment. And it's the food that we eat that actually significantly increases or decreases our risk of these chronic diseases. And so it's difficult to, pull apart the genetic versus the environmental aspect of you know, what you're taught by your family, essentially. And so they go hand in hand.
What are your thoughts, Randy?
Well,
he's grinning about something.
One of the things that Bob spoke about after his heart attack was that he was big on drinking this bulletproof coffee. And
oh,
I'm thinking,
wow,
you know, that your genes didn't control that.
Well, let's talk about.
Well, some aspect it may have, because his taste receptors
sure.
may have been conditioned to like that butter or coconut oil they put
That's
in
right.
that coffee.
About 2 tablespoons of each.
Well, and so while, yes, you, I'm speaking to my husband here, who had the cholesterol of, you know, 500 and triglycerides over 3,200, clearly you were predisposed to having those issues based on your history. But now, after changing the way you eat and changing our lifestyle, not taking medication, your cholesterol is now around 100.
Right.
And triglycerides are now around 100. So you don't get that significant of a change without medicine for no, I mean, if those are your genetics, he'd still have those.
That's
but
right.
he changed the way he ate and those completely came down. And with no medicine, I mean, he was on a statin the first year or so.
It was the first couple of years.
First couple of years of having, finding out about where we were in all this. And he was on, you know, when we first started, he was on 3 high blood pressure medications. And now he doesn't take any and the blood pressure is about 120 over 70 or something like that. So, I mean, I feel like we are living proof that that can happen based on what you put in your body.
And correct.
I think, so to speak a little to what that is, what that means.
Well, let's just take high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So typical medical treatment for that is you're given antihypertensives for your high blood pressure. You're given some type of statin or similar type drug for your high cholesterol. And everybody takes these drugs thinking that they're curing the problem. And all they really do is mask the symptoms.
Yes, high blood pressure and cholesterol are a symptom
of
heart disease.
They're a symptom of blood vessel disease throughout your body.
Yes, and I do think that's important to clarify. I'm glad you said that because I think there is a misnomer as well to think, oh, I have heart disease, which means it's, you know, all the vessels around my heart are blocked.
Right, nothing else
But nothing else, you know, you don't think about the vessels that feed your kidneys, the vessels that feed the blood supply to your spine, the vessels that feed your brain.
That feed your rotator cuff.
It's just that the one to the heart is the one that's probably going to kill you at a greater rate.
It's going to, correct. But the other arterial issues basically create a lot of agony.
Yeah, like the kidney issue.
Like Randy says, you know, we're not living longer, we're dying longer. And it's that process of dying. You know, I watched that in my dad, and it was very difficult to take that. You know, I watched this man who was strong and independent become totally dependent. Couldn't hardly walk at all, could hardly breathe at all. His kidneys completely failed him. And you watch this progression of this disease that could have been stopped. But, you know, he was a product of his belief system, and he just thought it would be too hard to change how he ate. And so he just accepted the old status quo until it killed him.
You know, he accepted his fate as, this was what, I mean, he even made many remarks to us about, this is just what happens when you get old.
That's right. you know, that's really kind of part of the reason why Dr. Greger went to medical school was
right.
because of his grandmother. And
right.
so after turning her health around. And
so I don't know if you guys are familiar with Michael Greger, but he runs nutritionfacts.org. And he watched his grandmother, who was basically told to go home and die, and she was confined to a wheelchair because her heart was in such bad shape, through what was called the Pritikin program, what is still called the Pritikin program. She completely reversed her disease and lived, you know, 20-something more years very healthily. And this convinced Dr. Greger to go to medical school and really kind of study nutrition. And I'm glad that he did.
And teach us all, right. I mean, yeah, to be the one to provide a lot of data to all of us. So let's talk a little bit about what we mean by, so we're saying change your lifestyle and also what is it about the current lifestyle of people out, you know, our normal, what I would consider standard American diet, what is it about that that is killing us? And
it would be better to say what isn't killing us.
Yeah, maybe.
Because, you know, the food that we currently eat, if you eat like most Americans, like I ate, there are a number of different factors that significantly increase your risk of chronic disease. So I'm talking about, you know, high blood pressure, kidney disease, heart disease, diabetes, dementia, autoimmune diseases. These basically can all be lumped together as nutritional deficiency diseases. We're nutrient poor, caloric rich diet here in the United States. So we eat high caloric foods that do not have the nutrients that our body needs to be healthy, to live vibrant, healthy lives.
Well, and it's pretty evident when you watch TV that, you know, all you see are just fast food commercials, and they just glamorize the more beef, the more bacon, the more cheese that is on something, the better it is
right.
for you, I guess. I mean, they just, it's
well,
like
at least the better it tastes.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because, and there's a reason, because then we basically get addicted to that taste. And so it's hard to even drive down the street and see all the fast food restaurants. I mean, you can't drive a block without seeing 15 different fast food restaurants. And that fast food environment is a recipe for disaster.
Well, and I think, you know, when I think back about my grandparents, I mean, they were just in their adult, more mature adult age, they were just getting introduced to all the fast, you know, like the McDonald's and
sure.
the Kentucky Fried Chicken, and those were just coming in. So they didn't, you know, they didn't grow up as young children eating that kind of stuff. They ate things off a farm or things they were raised themselves or out of a garden. And then, you know, the next generation gets a little worse. My parents ate, you know, more fast food, even my generation. But I look now at our kids' generation and what they're eating. And it's, I don't think it's any surprise that we're seeing these 20, 30-year-olds with, you know, even you said the other day, there was a study that came out that said millennials are having a higher rate of colon cancer.
Oh, well, yes, it's exploded, actually.
And I see, I get introduced to people all the time that have come to our seminars that are young women in their late 20s, early 30s, who have pretty significant autoimmune diseases starting,
right,
you know,
right.
Hashimoto's or rheumatoid arthritis or lupus and all these things. And I think this is not the, this is not normal life. This is not what should happen
That's
to
right.
us. You know, and we
depends on how you define normal, because it is becoming the new normal to live with chronic disease for decades, to live basically a miserable existence until you fade away. And, you know, unfortunately, we're seeing this younger and younger and younger age. I mean, 20 years ago, there was no adolescent that had type 2 diabetes.
I know.
So type 2 diabetes is the, you know, type of diabetes that is due to, I mean, it causes high blood sugar, but that's not the problem. The problem is that it's a fat storage disease, and we're seeing it in people under the age of 10 even.
Mm-hmm.
And so this current generation of young people, 10 and under, are projected to live a less long lifespan than their parents, which is the first time in decades that that has occurred. But it's because we're eating ourselves to death.
And if you look at the advertisements, like you were saying, it's always just more and more and more. You know,
right? More bacon, more cheese. Bacon, more
it's pork. Not just a hamburger anymore. It's a double cheeseburger, a triple cheeseburger with bacon and
and ribs, and then bacon, and then did you see this this free periodical or a little magazine that comes out in restaurants around town called So Six or something? They had an article. They had a food edition, and the headline of it was bacon.
Well, there's a new restaurant in Oklahoma City opening called Bacon. Bacon. And everything they sell is obviously around bacon, you know. And
I predict it's going to be a tremendous hit.
Yeah. All they need to do is add cigarettes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the thing now. I mean, bacon is like, it's weird to me how bacon has become this. It's really being held up there, and it's like what you know, I'd rather have bacon than whatever, you know?
Well, I understand. I mean, and because of the way
addictive.
It tastes.
It's certainly
yeah.
addictive.
It kind of has the full Monty, sugar and
right.
fat.
I did not quit eating bacon because it didn't taste good.
Right.
Now, that's what I tell a lot of people. I did not quit eating the standard American diet because it didn't taste good. I quit eating it because it was killing me. And as a result of me quitting eating this, you know, standard American diet, then my taste buds change. And so, you know, while, you know, I can still basically recall what bacon tastes like, I don't crave it.
Right.
And, you know, cravings are, some people use cravings as an excuse, saying that their body needs those nutrients.
Well, Well, before we go too far on that, I want to take a small break, and then I want to come back, and I want to talk about cravings and what happens to our body when we eat these really high-fat foods and high-fat meals, and, you know, how do we get rid of that and so on. So we'll be back here shortly after a break, and if you have any questions, again, while we're on the air, please feel free to call us at 672-1220.
Perfect.
We are Plant-Based OKC, back here to talk to you about eating healthfully, eating a whole food plant-based diet to reverse and prevent chronic disease. So one of the things we were talking about as we went to break was getting into a little bit to cravings, and why is it that we are so, so addicted to these foods that have sugar, salt, and fat, which is basically what all fast food and even restaurants or, you know, anywhere you're going to eat out. Somebody made the statement of food prepared by a corporation. You know, I don't care if it's McDonald's or it's Olive Garden or who it is. It's food prepared by a corporation. Why are we so addicted to these foods, and why are they so appealing to us? And what happens when we eat these foods? I mean, how is that affecting us? So, which part of that do you want to start with?
Well, so let's just start with addiction, because I mean, basically, that's what it boils down to. It has to do with neurotransmitters that basically feed these cravings. And what we're finding is that it's a lot more complex than what we maybe have thought in the past, because it starts with the food that you eat. So you eat this food, it goes into your mouth and then ultimately into your intestines, and the bacteria in your intestines are determined by the type of food that you eat. So there are different kind of classes of bacteria. And so these different bacteria, and it changes basically on a meal by meal basis. But if you eat a lot of high fat, salt, and sugar foods, you're going to have a different bacterial makeup. Now, those bacteria are going to do certain things to the food that you eat that have harmful results. They make your arteries stiffer, they change how your body responds to cholesterol. They change kind of how food is processed in the intestines, how fast it moves through or how slow it moves through. And then if you eat a lot of plants, you're going to have different type of bacteria. These bacteria then ferment food differently, and the fermentation byproducts are different. They have neurotransmitters in the plant-based bacteria that then produces responses to the food that you eat, where it speeds up the transit of food through your intestines. One of the gases that's produced with fermentation now we know is a neurotransmitter. So what that does is that tells the nerve cells in the intestines and then ultimately the nerves in your brain that you're full. And so that produces satiety, and that also promotes the transit of food through the intestines faster. So even if you eat a little more calories, you're not going to absorb more because it's going through faster.
Yeah, it's pretty provoking when we show some information on this in our presentations, and we talk about how when you're eating basically a standard American diet full of animal proteins, there is no fiber in any of that food.
That's correct.
And so when you think about how we as a nation basically are getting, I think it's like 3% fiber in our diet or something like that.
Well, only 3% of us take in the minimum recommended of fiber.
Right.
And so it's worse than what you just stated. 3% of us take in the minimum recommended of amount of fiber.
And the flip side of that is I think it's like 97% of us take in way more protein, especially animal protein,
correct,
than we need.
And, you know, back when I was eating a standard American diet, and, you know, yeah, there was this message that you need to eat fiber. Well, I didn't know fiber wasn't in flesh.
Absolutely.
Well, and not only that, but here's the other thing, and this is typical, again, of the media and what we see on TV.
Right.
If you need more fiber in your diet, all you need to do is
take some Meta.
Metamucil.
Take some of that Metamucil.
No, they don't
know?
Call it Metamucil anymore.
It's just Meta.
Now it's Meta.
You know, right. and or
add some Meta to your diet.
There's another one that's, but it, you know, it's like, oh, just, you know, mix this up in some water and drink it, or even gummy bear. They make it in gummy bears too. I'm thinking, how much fiber could you possibly get in a little tiny gummy bear that's going to help move all this meat and food that you're putting in your body?
Yeah,
it's just amazing to me that it's not let's eat the plants that are full of fiber. It's let's come up with something. You know,
well, but the supplement sells for tons more than a plant would.
Oh my gosh!
It's money. It's profit driven.
Yeah.
You know, if you're deficient in this nutrient, then you need to take a supplement. Basically, is the message that
we
get.
And we've seen that in the supplement, the food industry over the years. If the science has come out showing that we need to eat less fat, then they jump in and make all these, you know, low-fat foods. You know, years ago, the whole snack wells rage where, you know, you can eat all the cookies you want because they're, quote, low fat. But then, you know, then it came out that said we do need to get more fiber. And so then it became Fiber One, you know, every mix you can imagine, every granola bar had all this fiber, you know, added to it. You know, so they
processed fiber.
You process fiber.
Salt, sugar, and fat.
Yeah, and so you're getting all the other things along with that, of course. But, you know, they jump on those bandwagon. Now it's more protein. You want to get all the protein you can. So every drink you buy, every cookie, every granola bar, everything has all this extra protein added to it. It's kind of I don't know what the word is about seeing all that on TV.
A fallacy.
But you know, you talked about how all those foods change your gut and how they can change the way, you know, food processes, but also talk a little bit about the way it affects your brain, because, you know, even the way we eat, if, you know, occasionally, you know, we're not just stuck in our house, you know, 24 hours a day. So there are occasions when we travel or we do eat out with friends. And so even though we're eating plants, again, when you're eating something cooked by a corporation, you're still getting loads of sugar, fat, and salt. And I can immediately feel that. Like,
yes.
I feel this
yes.
release of endorphins when I eat this meal that's, you know, cooked in all this oil and had all this sugar and salt added to it. And so what is happening when that happens?
Well, I don't know where to start. It's so myriad. But, I mean, you eat a high-fat meal. And the areas in your brain that basically control a lot of function respond differently to that fat if it's high added fat versus what's found in whole food. So, like, where they've done functional MRI scans. So these are kind of real-time scans of the what's going on in your brain. And you feed somebody a high-fat food, and the areas in their brain light up just like in the corresponding areas if you give somebody morphine. So those...
It makes me feel good.
Right. That's the high-fat food is activating areas in your brain that are activated with morphine. The high sugar foods are activating areas in your brain that are activated with cocaine. And so your brain on sugar just looks just like your brain on cocaine on functional MRI scans. Your brain on fat looks just like your brain on morphine on functional MRI scans. And it has to do with kind of areas of the brain where that help control reward.
I mean, I can't imagine what your, you know, MRI would look like after you downed a big Coke and a big, you know, supersized French fries and a Big Mac or something.
Oh, I know.
I mean, when you think about how, I mean, even us, I mean, I don't put this on everybody without my own, you know, guilt of doing it. I mean, it's how I grew up, how we all grew up, and we ate that without a second thought.
Well, yeah, or maybe with malice and forethought.
Yeah.
I mean... It was comfort. Call it comfort food for a reason.
Because it made us feel good, and there's no question. I mean, and even now in times of stress and depression or whatever you may be feeling, you know, you think, man, that sure would be good.
I remember eating at Soli's in Oakland. Soli's is a strict vegan restaurant that produces vegan soul food. Now, this also is a distinction. Vegan doesn't necessarily equal healthy.
Right.
And so we go to this restaurant, and we have this large vegan soul food lunch, and it felt like I'd been drugged. I mean, like, I couldn't hardly keep my eyes open.
Sure.
I couldn't even drive the car. I had to have one of my sons drive us because it was so high in fat that it just flooded, and my body wasn't used to that, and it just, I responded where it was just like I was in a food coma. Now, it was all plant-based food, but there's also a distinction between healthy and plant-based, or healing even, and plant-based. So necessarily healthy's not necessarily healing either. Brooke Goldner makes that distinction in what she recommends for autoimmune diseases.
What does that say? Expound on that. What you mean by that?
Well, you can eat healthy food, but it might not necessarily be what's needed to heal.
Right.
And so the nutrients that you need to heal might be even, you know, like a little... different version of healthy, like lots of green leafy vegetables are healing.
Versus something like cashew cheese that
is healthy.
It's healthy, but it's not healing.
Right.
And high in fat. So, you know, one of the things that came to mind was, you know, your taste buds. And one of the things that I couldn't grasp when I've changed my way of eating, when people said your taste buds are going to change. And I thought, you know, that's like telling me that my eye color is going to change, you know? And it took a while before it really happened and I understood it. And so, you know, I would sit down in a past life and eat so much ice cream, it could, you know, make you sick. And so now every now and then I would say special occasions, we'll buy some of that. So delicious. Yes. Uh-huh. And we can make that last, you know, a long time, and it's like a pint.
Right.
And so, you know, I have one or two little spoonfuls of it, and that first spoonful, it really just you know, lights up your taste buds. But the first thing I think is this is loaded in salt, sugar, and fat. You know, we think of things that are just sweet, but if you really hone in on it, it's salt, sugar, and fat.
McDonald's, that's why caramel tastes so good.
That's, you're exactly right.
I mean, well, perfect. Yes.
Well, the biggest thing, the big thing now is salted caramel. Salted caramel, yes. Everything. Yes. You know.
And you think about things like the Starbucks or any of these Dunkin' Donuts drinks. They're all kind of a salted caramel, apple, frappuccino thing. You know, just loaded in calories, too. Just...
And, you know, so let's look at, we know the effects of oil on arteries. Added oil, a high-fat diet basically kills your arteries. But what we found out is that high salt does the same effect to the arteries, and so does high sugar. And so these compounds are toxic to the lining of our arteries. And so what that does is that prevents your arteries from dilating. And so it promotes arterial stiffness, it promotes high blood pressure, it promotes cholesterol being deposited into the arteries because they're stiffer and flow is more turbulent, which further injures the endothelium, which is the lining of the arteries throughout your body. And so both added oil, added sugar, and added salt combine to really kill arterial function. And you can't have a healthy body without healthy arteries. I mean, even in what I do with the rotator cuff, I mean, rotator cuff tears start in an area of porous blood supply. We've known that since 1965. And so it's not an accident that, you know, all these diseases that we see become a lot more prevalent in our 40s, 50s, and 60s have common pathways.
You know, and it's just like Dr. Jeff Garrett says in the documentary Eating You Alive, when he's done a bypass on somebody, he says, you know, without some significant lifestyle changes, this patient's going to be right back here again.
That's what I experienced with my dad. That's what scared me to the point that I didn't want to go down that same path.
Sure.
Because it doesn't increase your lifespan. Because, you know, yes, it gives you maybe a better quality of life for a small period of time because your arteries are now open and you're having more blood flow, but eventually those lock back down. And we have known people that that's happened within, what, 6 months?
Yes.
I mean, there was a lady we met who she had had, I think, quadruple or maybe even 5-vessel bypass, and within 6 months she had a couple of those vessels stenosed and had to go back in and have, you know, stents put in. And so it doesn't erase everything that's happened to you, just having that bypass. I mean, so it's...
Or having stents. I mean, really, that doesn't treat the cause of the problem. It treats more of the symptoms. And, you know, yeah, you can have what's called angina, which is chest pain. So if you have angina at rest, that's not a good sign. But, you know, a lot of times people have...
And stents may relieve that.
Stents may relieve. So a lot of times people have stents or angioplasty and stents due to those symptoms. But if they don't change drastically what they eat, those symptoms are going to come back in a short period of time.
You know, there's a old ancient Asian saying that says the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago and the next best time is today. And so Dr. Dean Ornish has said this on several occasions, that it is never too late to change, you know, the path of your health. You know, my father died when I was 35. He had had a 5-vessel bypass, he had macular degeneration, and he had pulmonary fibrosis. And it was really the macular degeneration more than anything, because like you all, I thought, oh, well, everybody has heart problems, but not everybody has eye disorders. And I thought, well, I don't want to be blind. And it took several years for me to wise up. But I think that even waiting, you know, several years after he died, I'm still grateful that I was introduced to the science. And so that's the thing that I try and tell people now is regardless of how bad your health is, it's not too late to change.
Or how old you are, like you said, because, you know, we've been approached by people and said, well, you know, my father's 70 and he's having all these issues. I mean, is it too late? Well, hopefully he's going to live another 15, 20 years, right?
Right.
So no, it's not too late. Of course it's not too late. Right.
As long as you're breathing, it's not too late.
That's right.
Because, you know, and what we say is it's amazing how quickly, you know, when we started this, you know, here we are, he's, you know, my husband was 53 years old. So you think about 50 years of all the things you put in your body.
That's right.
And within just months, you know, all of a sudden, all that changes.
And for weeks, for some people, yeah. How much they better they feel, you know?
You know, yeah. So it's amazing how quickly. So just because you know, you're 70 or 75, don't think it's too late.
Sure. Well, I'm always reminded of the lady that we met on the cruise.
Oh, yeah.
Who was 87 years old and watched this documentary called Forks Over Knives. And she was a childhood friend of Dr. Esselstyn's. And so, you know, she kind of reconnected, so to speak, with Dr. Esselstyn. And here she is at 87 years of age, and she decides, you know, I'm going to go totally plant-based, which
what I've done for 80 years didn't
you
work.
Know, well, you right. know, and who knows? Maybe she'll live to be 100 or more, but maybe those years will be a lot more,
that's right,
you know, energetic and a lot more fulfilling for her because... Yes, there are people living, you know, your dad lived to 85, but from probably 70 to 85 were not great years,
no, right.
you know?
No.
I mean, he managed to get along, but it was always a struggle and with everything. And so, you know, I don't want to live, I guess I just, like you said, Randy, I just don't want to die longer, you know? I want my years on this world to be, you know?
Sounds like a country and western.
That's exactly right, you know? I mean, everybody kind of wants to go in their sleep, you know, after a fun day with your family or something. And
when I'm over 100, that is.
That's right,
yeah.
You know?
not when I'm 80. I won't have lived my life yet.
And I just think, you know, I understand what food does to people and the addiction and all that, but I think, boy, I'd sure like to be living vibrantly and healthy for my children more than I want to give in to a double cheeseburger with bacon.
Exactly, you know? Exactly. So one of the things that somebody said the other day in just reference to what we were saying earlier about the high sugar, fat, salt is, you know, I just, when people say, well, where can I even get started? How do I get started? I mean, my first piece of advice is quit letting corporations cook your food. You need to cook your
food.
Right. No matter what food you're cooking, I promise you will cook healthier and better than a corporation will cook your food.
You
will never use the amount of sugar, fat, and salt that a corporation will use in their food. I mean, I find that time and time again, no matter what, you know, I can go just get a bowl of vegetable soup at a store. I mean, you know, at a restaurant and
right.
the amount of salt
yes.
is just, pretty phenomenal. So
right.
just start by cooking your food and being aware of that. And you can slowly start, you know, making, you know, your animal protein part of your meals, you know, smaller and just adding more vegetables. And I do think, you know, obviously eating this way, you do have to cook your food. There isn't a great healthy plant-based restaurant in every corner like there is fast food. So we do eat 95% of our food out of our house. And so I do encourage people to start cooking and being more aware of the food you're putting in your body, reading labels, and so on. So if you're interested in finding out more, please come to one of our seminars. We would love to have you. You can find out more information on plantbasedokc.com and get all the information as to date and times and email your reservation. If you happen to be on Facebook, you can follow us at plantbasedokc on Facebook, and I post a lot of recipes and just information that's out there of currently, and just try to keep people aware of things that are going on. Or you can visit us on the first Monday of every month at Rococo in North Park Mall for our informal just support group meeting. Again, you can eat or not eat. It's not required to be there. We try to do everything related to nutrition and our this plant-based information free of charge, because we don't want anyone to have that be a barrier for them to getting this information.
Sure.
So our seminars are free. We go to Rococo for free. And we've done seminars at people's churches. We've traveled. We've done all kinds of things, and we do it because we feel like this message is so vitally important to get out. The other thing is, Randy, you want to talk a little bit about Eating You Alive?
Sure. So our new full feature documentary is out that Dr. Conway and Andrea and myself and Dr. Jeff Garrett, who is a cardiothoracic surgeon here in Oklahoma City, are in. And we're really excited about that. You can order that DVD from their website at eatingyoualive.com. You can buy the digital download, you can buy the DVD, or you can rent it. And I think it's
$3.99 to rent it.
And it's for like 3 days or something.
And $9.99 to buy it.
Right. And so I like to say, if you've watched Forks Over Knives, it's a great follow-up to that. And, you know, a lot of times I'll tell people, you can watch Forks Over Knives for free since it's been out for several years, and you can see that on Netflix. And so Eating You Alive is new, so it's not out yet, to the public for free. But we expect it to be on Netflix within the next, 6 to 8 months anyway. And then our, like Andrea said, our next health forum is Monday, June
5th. I think you said 5th. Yes,
I thought I had it as 4th.
Yeah, June 5th. Monday, okay. June 5th.
June 5th. Our website, we've talked about that. We've talked about our next seminar, which is the 17th.
June 17th.
If you want to go to that, go to our website, because we have to RSVP because the room is limited.
And you get a great free meal that I cook.
That's exactly right. And you get to meet us in person.
That's right. In person.
In person.
Well, and, you know, it's pretty amazing. We have had people from Kansas City, from Dallas-Fort Worth. This next one, we have people coming from Little Rock, Arkansas. We're really getting, we're the only ones, honestly, in anywhere around that do anything like this, and especially right. Free of charge.
Right.
I mean, you could go to John McDougall's clinic in Arizona or...
No, it's in California.
Santa Rosa, California.
Yes. You can go to a lot of these workshops that are intense, 2 or 3 day workshops, but they're certainly expensive. And so we try to give an opportunity to reach people without having to do something like that. And I think that people do appreciate that. And I think we'll stay busy for quite a while.
So I think you better tell them about living life.
So I guess we're going to sign off here. And to Kathy, we miss you if you're listening, but... In honor of you, we want you to live life on purpose and with purpose.
Amen.
Thank you.